But it's all worth it.
I do say so myself, 50 times over.
All right, so what we got here is a continuation of our discussion of compensation. And as you remember, we had been talking about how employees formulate their emotional response to their pay. And I explained to you that they form their emotional response to pay through the three equities. What were those three equities? Right, those three equities. Now, it's not enough just to tell you that we are going to put in place the equities, but I need to explain to you how we create those equities. Because the creation of the equities allows you to be thinking about the emotional response that you want out of your employees. You want your employees to look at their pay and say, whoopee, I'm happy. That means they're going to work hard, learn what to do, work, and you know, get the job done, et cetera, so they can stay on with your company. You, of course, then have good products to sell, well made, on time, et cetera, et cetera. So that lines up. Or they say, are you kidding me? I'm worth more than this. And they stay as long as they have to until they find another job and they leave. And that, of course, should be acceptable to you because you're following a low-cost manufacturing process or whatever else it might be as part of your competitive strategy to sell your goods or services. Are you coming back, Carly?
Yes, hopefully if I get done.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Hands. No, not coming back. Coming back, not coming back. Let's take a vote. What do you think? Coming back.
No way.
No
vote at all.
No faith. Unanimous.
Unanimous. Not coming back. Not coming back. Okay. Got that one pretty well nailed. I feel we can enforce that by nailing the door shut too. That would help. She's a good kid, but everybody's a little bit dishonest in those situations, including myself. All right. So what we're going to do is put together then this idea of creating this unity between emotional response, and we know we're going to do that through the equities, and so I need to explain to you how to create equity in our pay system. Now, remember here, the word equity does not mean, in this case, fairness. What it means is that it creates a certain emotional response that we want. It's the pay equities. It's the equity here means the emotion to pay that we want. We went through this, right, at McDonald's or some fast food joint. You looked your paycheck at the end of the week after they subtracted everything known to mankind, and what's your emotional response?
Crap, they took a lot out.
Yeah. And are you happy about that? Oh, wait. Are you about
better level?
I'm in the choice today. Which are you, A or B?
B.
You're unhappy. Your response is what they predict. Your action is what they predict. You work there till as long as you have to, and then you leave ASAP.
What does that say?
Yeah,
emotion to pay that we want. Emotional response to pay. All right. So that emotional response gets us to our goals. So that's what we're setting when we talk about equity. So let's talk about the equities. I'm going to first talk about individual or employee equity. We have a grid here that we're going to consider for all of this. And on this side is pay, the y-axis, y equals pay, and x equals point value of job to company. Now,
I'm not going to explain this concept probably until Thursday, but for the time being, it's the point value of a job to the company. These are the points here on the x-axis. And our jobs are arranged, lower point values, lower value to the company, higher point value, higher value to the company. So we can look at a job here. Let's say this is job 100 points, 200, 300, and as you might surmise, 400 being not particularly creative. So what we're looking at here is a job that is worth 100 points to the company, not a particularly valuable job. And there it is. And on this job, we are running, let's say this is 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 50, whatever. Dollars on the job, right? Dollars per hour on the job. And job 100 has a range of pay that runs from 10 to, let's say, 17. This would be pay range. Okay. And we have 15 people, let's say, doing this job. So we have 15 people on this job, earning different levels of pay. Now, moving up from $10 to $15 could be dependent on two different things, part of your job. What are those two things typically? How do you get a raise at a company?
Length of time you're there.
That's known as seniority. So we have seniority.
And performance.
And performance, which is known as merit pay, increases.
Merit increases.
So we have seniority and performance, or merit pay increases. Remember now, for terminology's use, right? Merit is a permanent increase to your paycheck. A bonus is a one-time pay boost, or one-time pay packet, let's say, would be the easiest way. Christmas time, we give everybody $1,000, or whatever. Or we give the high performers $1,000, the low performers 85 cents, whatever it might be. But it's a one-time deal. A bonus is a one-time deal. Merit is a permanent increase to your pay. All right. So we have a range here. And we have 15 people scattered over this range of pay for job 100 points, whatever it happens. And they move based on that merit and seniority. Explain to me how the pay the employee is getting helps us achieve our goals. So this is person A, this is person M. Person A looks at their pay and says, shit, everybody's ahead of me. I'm down there on the list. I don't feel very good about my pay. Is that good for the company?
It could be.
If it's done correctly by following my scripture, then it's good for the company. Why?
Because it encourages them to do better.
Do better, work harder, stay longer, and earn more pay to move up that ladder. Now, I grant you that seniority is an issue here. So most companies are dumping seniority. Because from the point of view of the employee, are you a cash now or a cash later kind of person, they got to build up 20 years of freaking seniority in order to get a pay increase. Ain't going to happen, right? People aren't going to wait 20 years like they might used to before when they go into a company and stay there for their lifetime. That was sort of normal. Not now, right? They're at home writing the next best thriller that they could possibly write. Have any of you read Hugh Howey's books on Amazon? That guy worked at the bookstore. He kept trying to sell my wife, and she worked there, copies of his science fiction novels. That's about this world that lives inside some sort of satellite that's gone through space and blah, 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 blah. Jody said, I don't read that kind of crap. She'd never read it. She's a wonderful person. But, so Hugh Howey's working at the bookstore for $10 an hour. Finally, he gets his first book done, and he publishes it on Amazon. Anybody got their hook up here? Good Amazon. Type in Hugh Howey. See what you get. 8,500 responses, 4.5 stars to his first book. They sell like hotcakes. Thousands and thousands of copies. All the money goes to him. A little bit of Amazon. Sells it through Amazon. Self-published.
All electronic.
Yeah, all electronic. Did anybody find him yet? H-O-W-I?
He's loaded now.
See, you have to read it on a computer screen. Can you get it on, like, any look? Well, even that, kind of.
But I think you have to read it on the screen.
Apparently,
it's like the number three seller in science fiction on Amazon. Now, that's something
that's
for self-publishing.
Mm-hmm.
He's making $1 million a year off of these books. He's doing world book tours, and he used to work at the bookstore for $10 an hour, and Jody wouldn't read his book.
This bookstore, out of state.
Yeah. It's really something.
He used to just work there.
Huh?
He used to
work there to get money, you know, to pay for his life. But all the time, he's working on this book. It's pretty amazing. Look him up on...
How long ago did he leave the bookstore?
He left the bookstore about 2 years ago. I don't know. He's just some sort of goofy-looking guy. Young guy, maybe about 38. Sort of normal-looking.
Normal-looking.
Come on, look it up. Dutch, stop. Just look it up.
It was E-Y is what I found.
H?
O-W-E-Y.
What's the name of the book?
Well,
give 4 minutes.
Yeah, Hugh Howey. And, yeah, Hugh Howey, books, Amazon. The award-winning Molly 5 series. Da-da-da-da. Yeah, this is it.
Shift?
His first book was called Wolf, W-O-O-F.
Yeah, I found it.
What's it say?
9,000 ratings.
And they are?
4.5.
Oh, my God.
1,000
ratings. I still never read it.
You can get
that book free. The first book is free. Once you get hooked on them, then you buy the whole series.
You can get them hardcover or paperback.
Okay. That's amazing to me.
New York Times bestseller.
There you go. Worked at the bookstore 2 years ago. Jody wouldn't read his book. I keep bragging about it. Anyway, so you move. How did I get on to Hugh Howey, for God's sake? Anyway, you have created a ladder for the employee to move up if they fill in the checks appropriately on their performance appraisal. Do good jobs, you know, this and that. Do all the things that are necessary for their performance appraisal top ratings. Now everybody's reading. They're probably starting on Wool. They're reading the first chapter of Wool now. It's a free download. Might as well try it. I tried it. All right. So this is pretty good from the point of view of an employee making a decision about whether to be satisfied and move up or dissatisfied and move out. Gives them that opportunity. So that's good. So that's the idea of individual employee equity. Now, even if they get to the very top, what do you think happens when they get to the top? They can't go any higher.
They move company.
Pardon?
They move company.
We don't want them to move company.
Change. Oh.
So we have to give them some... Well, they've done so well. They've been with us long enough and done so well. They've moved up. So we would want to keep them, since we want to reward these people, apparently... They're in that kind of situation. They want good employees, and they want to pay them reasonably, give them more pay to stay. So what are we going to do to keep to reward this guy?
Move him to the
200 level, which then allows him to move up this pay grade, come over here and move up this one, etc. When they get to the top of a grade, it's known, by the way, as red circle. And usually the bottom are sort of entry level. Red circle.
So the bottom...
Stop.
The bottom of the lowest pay or the bottom of each level?
The bottom of each level is usually entry level.
It's called red circle?
No, the top. Stop. They can't go any higher. Stop, see? Red.
Should be red octagon then.
Huh?
Should be red octagon.
Red octagon.
Yes, sir.
Search for red octagon?
As a stop sign.
The stop sign.
Oh, stop sign!
It's a little slow today.
Just today, Dr. Fox, you're missing yourself. All right. So,
that's the idea of employee equity. Now, let's talk about external equity. External equity is the idea that the employee looks outside the company at somebody doing the same job as they're doing, and they have an emotional response to the pay that somebody else is doing outside the company. They then take action that helps the company, our company, achieve its goals. Let's see how that might be. So they're here, and they're earning $10 an hour, let's say. They look outside, and they see somebody else making $15 an hour. And they say, what?
Why
can't I get $15? They go talk to the manager. The manager says, well, you've only been here a year. If you want $15, you've got to work really hard and be here for at least 2 or 3 years, et cetera. So the person would stay. Or the manager says, there's no hope for you anyway. You're going to be stuck at $15 for the rest of your time here. And the guy says, that bites and leaves. So whatever. So we want to construct something that encourages our employees to do what we want them to do. So we are thinking about, again, creating an externally equitable pay for this job, 100, let's say for this job too, which is 200, and for this job, which is, let's say, 500, whatever. So we want to create equitable pay for these jobs. And how do we do this, you ask?
Market research?
Market research, indeed. What's known as a wage and salary survey. A wage and salary survey in which we ask people in the relevant labor market to tell us what they're paying their employees. Is this a wild surmise by some effetus professor that one company is going to tell a company what they pay? Or does it actually happen?
Sure it'll happen.
And why does it happen? Why will one company tell another what they're paying?
They can pay more for that job than anybody less.
You're getting to that point. What we're doing is passing information out and getting it back and forth. So companies share information so they can put together a pay structure that they want to yield the goals that they want. So they need this external information, and if they all share it, then they don't have to buy a consultant to figure out what it is, which is often done as well. Hey, group and whatnot. So we do a market survey, and we find out wage and salary survey that this job, this non-point job, which, by the way, is a key job. Look, I can write over my old writing, key job here, and I'll explain that in a minute, pays, one company pays here, another pays here, another pays here, and another pays here. And on the 200, we have the same kind of situation.
So the X's employees are different pay.
Those X's are what other companies are paying for that job. These jobs that we're surveying are called key jobs. Listen up now. They're called key jobs because they're common. Their job descriptions are consistent across companies. So we're not comparing apples and oranges. We're comparing oranges to oranges or whatever. Pomegranates are back. How do pomegranates come out in November? Don't ask me, but they're really good. Okay, so we're comparing pomegranates here. So we get key jobs to allow us to compare these. They're common job descriptions. They're all over the place, and they have a lot of employees there. The unchanging job descriptions across all the companies that we survey. And we found three that have the same job as we have, job 100, 300, 200, 300, 500. Okay? So they're consistent. We survey them. One company, company M, pays down there at the bottom. This company, page J, which is at the top, right? Whatever, that's company J. And that goes on here, et cetera. Then our company has to sit down, which is at the bottom, J is at the top, J is at the top, M is at the bottom. And our company has to make a decision. Where do they want to pay vis-a-vis, in comparison to these other companies? Well, we want to pay the point at which the employees have the emotional response that leads to the behavior that leads to the goal. Okay, so much for that. But where is that? If we don't care if our employees turn over a lot, right, because it's easy jobs, we can find other people to do it, and we're very price sensitive in terms of a product that has a high labor cost, labor-intensive product, where are we going to pay? Down, right? So we want an emotional response that tells the employee they can stay or go. We don't really care because we've got to keep the cost down. It's an easy job. We can find other people to do it. It's easy. On the other hand, if we're talking about a company that wants to differentiate their product, you recognize these low cost and differentiation, product markets, blah, blah, competitive advantage in marketing. Does this mean anything? Back to the marketing department with you all. So what we have then is that they say, we're going to differentiate our product. We're not going to worry about the cost aspect of it. We're going to follow the Lexus Mercedes type of way of selling things. And we're going to just pay strongly so that we keep the best people. So they do the very best work and we get the best automobile. Well, the company needs to make that decision. And if our company decides that they want to be cost conscious, right, we want to have low cost competitive advantage, we're going to pay down here at the bottom. So we're going to pay here. If we pay in the middle, this is called lag, by the way, lag pay philosophy. This is called market. And this is called lead. So lead, market, and lag. Did she come out of here? And she didn't say a word. She didn't say, excuse me, Dr. Fox, I feel terrible, but I have to leave. This is a guaranteed not return.
She got her notebook.
Her
signing
thing's messed up.
Huh?
Her thing, she's signing up
for boxes. Oh, it's messed up?
Yeah.
So this... She's not coming. Carly shows up. She's good too. All right, so they take a lag position. Now what do they do? By the way, there's other jobs in here that we have to be paid that are not key jobs. But how are we going to pay those jobs? We didn't get any survey information for them. We're SOL. What do we do?
Compare them to the other ones you do have data for.
And how do we do that comparison? It's a statistical process. It begins with an R.
Search.
Ruin. Random.
Regression.
Refreshing.
Right.
What did you say?
Regression.
Yes, regression, not refreshing, which is, I'm sure that you said, it was your accent. Refreshing. No, regression. Got it. Okay, we're going to run regression through these points. And what are these points? Why, they're ordered pairs, Dr. Fox. Stop babbling. You're right. They're X, Y. Every one of them is its own individual X, Y. Remember? It's a graph. There's points on the graph. Those points have ordinates, right? What are they? The XY points.
Yep.
Okay. A little nodding here. You know, Taco Bell doggy, back to car. Okay. Good. All right. So we know that we're going to regress these points, and we're going to create the... Thank you. I thought I was going to have to use a shovel to get that out of this room. The line of best fit, right? Right here. The line of best fit. There it is. Which, can you define it? Minimizes the absolute difference between the estimated line and the actual points. Minimizes the absolute difference. So we got this little bit of difference here, a little bit of difference here, a little bit of difference here. It doesn't matter which way they're going. We're minimizing the total to fit the line. To fit the point, sorry. Up through there. That then allows us to figure out how to pay these other jobs. So, what is this equation of this line? Let's all together say it. You memorized it at some point in that econ class. What is it?
Y equals
Y, don't go too fast, some are not quite so sharp. Y equals MX plus B. And define the points for me. Y intercept when X equals zero. All right. So this is the line here. So when we run these points through Excel, we put this in, it'll spit out this information, the regression line of these points here. And what you're going to get then is this equation with some numbers here. You'll have a number here. We'll say it's 4.927. And B is going to have a number that looks like it's going to be 5.31. How do we use that now to figure out what the pay should be for this non-key job? How are we going to figure out what we're going to pay using a lag philosophy to pay this job out here?
You plot it, find the X point, and then
this, we already know that this is 100, 200, 400. We can just assume this is something like 300. So what do?
You plot the point, figure out where the 300 X point is, go up and then over.
Yeah, you know, but that's sort of if you happen to have a ruler and a pencil. But if you happen to have this equation, what would you do?
Just type in 300.
Take this 300 up here, right, into the M value. No, into the X value. Sorry.
Yeah.
So we will put that into the X value there. We have the M, this, multiplied by this, add this, and that becomes the pay for that job on average. Got it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this is how we, with some rigor, you know, some structure, create this relationship between the emotional response we want based on the equities. It's a good way of doing this because we're still sort of scientifically, or at least rationally, creating our pay process. We're really glad you came back. No. Okay.
I left all my stuff.
I know. I'm just teasing. We knew you were coming back. Otherwise, you would have taken a pawn shop. All right. So what we have then is consistency now from this idea of getting to that emotional response, because we've set this is what we want in an external comparison. And we have internally allowed this movement for a person to move up compared to a person that they want to earn as much as, kind of thing. Do better work, stay longer, et cetera, to get an increase there. Now, finally, we have to talk about this line, which is internal equity. And you'll be pleased to know that we're going to do that next time we're here. Bye. You got back just in time.
Well, you're right. Maria is like,